for filling in the pulpit this morning. So thank you. We appreciate you and your service. So let's give them a welcome. At our church, we currently have so many opportunities to learn, to grow, to serve, to fellowship, and many of those are listed in our bulletins, on our screens, and sent by email. I do have a couple of things. Next week, Pastor Larry will be back, and he'll be starting a sermon series on Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, and he wrote, if you haven't read it recently, you might want to check it out. On the clipboards, we have a brunch potluck next week, and we also have a card class that I'll be holding next Tuesday. If you're interested, please sign up. Also, it's listed that Meals for Monday is on May 1st in our bulletin, but Evelyn has sent this. It says, we need 4 to 5 workers to assemble lunch on May 1st at 8:30 here at the church, and we also need workers at the community center to cut pies, and we need a few more pies. Be at the community center by 10:50. My papers in order here. It's now time. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our prelude and the lighting of our worship candles. Please join me in our call to worship. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Our opening hymn, Marching to Zion, is on page 733. Please stand as you're able. It's now time for our prayer requests and joys. Dr. John McConaughey.
Please remember after each statement, we answer with. See, it was a test. And you passed. First concern is from John and Angie Etchin about Gatlin Turner. Surgery in Houston, Texas has been postponed to May. He has strep. Next concern is. Second concern also from John and Angie about Barney Moore, a friend having colon resection on Tuesday, 4:25. Lord, hear our prayers. Next is a joy from John and Angie about grandkids, Grayson and Maggie, celebrating their 11th and 14th birthday. Lord, hear our prayers. Then another joy from Diane Wallace, and this is for Art and Harriet Mize, John and Janice McConaughey, Angie and John Etchin, Neo Ayers, Samantha Burge, Beth Laird, Donna Bogard, Roseanne Rector, half the church. Thank you to all the volunteers who assisted with Pastor Larry's office update. They really did work hard. It looks very nice in there now. Lord, hear our prayers. And then we have a concern from Doris Kiesling about Robin, David, and Davis. Robin's mother passed away on the 19th. Lord, hear our prayers.
Let's see. Well, all right, it's working.
You never know whenever you're coming to somewhere new. So, will you join me in prayer this morning? Eternal God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together to worship and to praise you this morning. Lord, it's a little chilly out there, but it's a beautiful day with the sun shining, the clear blue skies. Eternal God, we thank you so much. Lord, this morning we've raised our concerns to you and joys today about things that are going on in our lives. And Lord, we look around our world today and we see that there is so much that seems to be happening all around us. We see the war still going on in Ukraine. We see the shootings for such we think insignificant reasons, Eternal God. Why are these things going on in our world today? We see the poverty around us, the homelessness in our cities, Eternal God, and we still ask the questions, why? But Eternal God, we know from your word and through our experiences in life that that's part of what happens in this world in which we live. So Eternal God, we just lift all these things up to you this morning, laying them in your loving arms, knowing that we don't have the wherewithal to care for most of the things that go on in our world today, but we know that you do, Eternal God. We know that you hear our each and every prayer, and we know that you care, Eternal God. So, gracious God, not only are you able, but you are willing to care for our needs. So, Eternal God, be with each and every one this morning. Be with their families all around the world today, those who hunger and thirst, those who live in fear, Eternal God, those who are just struggling to get by day to day. Let your Holy Spirit wash over each and every one and fold them in your loving arms, Eternal God, and bring them peace, if but just for a moment in time, Eternal God. We pray these things in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and ask that you hear the prayer that he has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you would, please turn in your hymnals to number 600 for our next hymn, Wonderful Words of Life. You know, you can't do it right unless you got a scorecard and write playbill. So, okay. I retired for the third time back in June of last year. Okay, so it's been a little while since I've done it. So please excuse me. But we want to thank everyone. Our offering plate is out in the foyer as you come in this morning. There are opportunities to give online, I believe, also. So you're able to do that. We want to thank everyone for continuing to provide their offerings, their tithes, and their gifts. You know, the pandemic did a lot of damage in more ways than one, and it damaged the life of the church, and things have changed drastically. And one of the ways that we have changed with the pandemic is that we don't, in most of our churches these days, use offering plates. We either mail them in or we have plates that are outside. We just don't pass them around. So we want to thank everyone for their continued support. Will you pray with me this morning? Eternal God, out of your great bounty and your goodness, you provide for our each and every need. Lord, this morning we want to thank you so much for all of the blessings that we have received. Lord, we want to thank you for the continued support of the givers out that are watching us this morning, those who are at home and shut-ins, those who are here this morning, are continuing to support the ministry of this congregation as it reaches out to a world in need. Eternal God, as always, we pray these things in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Scripture today is a choral reading of Psalm 95, 1 through 8. Come,
let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods.
In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him.
The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
Come,
let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
Today, if only you would hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness.
The word of God for the
people of God. Thanks be to God.
Wow. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
My goodness. I didn't know when I picked that scripture we were going to do something like that. That's pretty cool. Huh? That's pretty cool. Now, you all have to excuse me. Sandy always tells me if I go to visit somewhere, if I go to a new church, tone it down. I told the sound booth they'd have to watch it because I can get a little loud and I can get a little carried away. But I want to thank Janice for inviting me to come and speak to you this morning. We have been here a couple of times and visited. We've sat back in the back, even sang in the choir one time. And things happen, right? Like I said, the world changes. Huh?
You're still welcome.
Yeah, I know. The world changes around us. But as I said, I retired in June of last year for the third time. Medical issues caused all three retirements, actually. But it's really good to be here with you this morning and share with you. Sandy asked me, she said, well, who are you following since it's been a while since you spoke? And I think, well, it isn't Larry, okay? I've known Larry for a long, long time. So I went online to the website and I watched last Sunday's service. I said, oh my gosh, it was Sherry. Known Sherry for a long time. Sherry's a really good speaker. Love hearing Sherry. But what I wanted to do this morning was come and talk to you about worship. As I said, the pandemic has done so much, and it has really changed worship in our churches these days. Do you realize that 30% of attendance in churches is gone? People do not come to churches all over the board, all around. So it's really kind of surprising. And I've got a specialization in evangelism and listen to all the critics, listen to all the authorities, read all the books on how you get people to come to church, right? How you build up your attendance in churches and everything like that. And a lot of it made me mad over the years, okay? Because there were some that said, if you want to get people to come to church, you've got to do away with all of your symbology. You've got to remove all of your crosses. You have to take away all denominational insignia if you want to get people to come, because people don't like those kind of things these days. And you've got to have praise bands, right? And you've got to do a lot of praise music and have people stand up for a half an hour singing praise songs. I'm a traditionalist, ladies and gentlemen. I remember some good old days. And you have to excuse me. We just celebrated Easter. Amen? We just talked about on Good Friday that Jesus was crucified upon a cross. We talked about on Easter Sunday that the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. I'm sorry, but you can't get rid of those things. And oh, by the way, I don't like standing up for a half an hour singing. I'm sorry, Danielle. I don't like that, Sam, okay? We will not do that. I don't like worship gimmicks about getting people to come to church, okay? But community worship is something that we need to participate in. The psalmist, as we heard today, invites us to worship. I remember when I was young. You do that as you get older, right? I remember when I was young. It really was a long time ago. Some days it's longer than I want to remember. But I remember the days when you went to church and it was an all-day thing, right? You went and you had service, and afterwards you had a potluck or something like that. Everybody bought fried chicken and mashed taters. There were rolls. There was pork and beans. There was green bean salads. Okay, now every church that I've ever served knows Pastor Dave doesn't like green beans. Okay, but that's okay. People bring green bean salads and I try it, you know. But I remember those kind of days, you know, and sometimes there were games afterwards, you know. Church was an all-day long affair. And sometimes we even had it on Wednesdays, right? Can you believe it? I know people who used to tell me, you know, well, I went to church almost every day this week. Well, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's really great. But we each can enrich our times of worship by inviting other people to come and enjoying it, right? I mean, think about it. If you have a car that you really like, if you bought it from a dealer that you really enjoyed, don't you tell people about it? Don't you? Y'all awake out there this morning? Okay, you tell them, right? I mean, I do. I drive around. I've got a pretty big pickup truck, and Sam's got a little car, and I like driving around in my big pickup truck, and I tell people where I got it, you know, and all about it and everything like that, hauling our trailer. Why don't we do the same things with church? If we enjoy our worship, if we enjoy our church family and things like that, why aren't we telling people and sharing that with other people? Because I believe when we do that, when people see that we're excited and happy about our church and our worship, they want to come be a part of it. The world's got too many people who are too down these days. Too many people who are upset with the way things are going on. So sad in their lives. They want a part of happiness and joy and celebration. The psalmist, as we heard today, tells us about three dimensions of worship. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The three dimensions of worship. First, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Okay? The second is, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. And the third is, O come, let us worship and bow down. So the first dimension, right? Music. Haven't we all heard that music hath charms to soothe the savage beast? Now, I'm going to tell you a little story. I graduated from high school and had about three or four scholarships to go to be a music major. And I went to Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia in the 60s. As a music major, and I quit. I quit and went off to war. I'm a Vietnam vet, and I spent almost 7 years over in the Far East, in Vietnam and a whole bunch of other places. But music. Music hath charms to soothe the savage. If you think about it real hard, the church at times can be pretty beastly. We can devour other people. We can turn visitors away. If we are not welcoming by the things that we say and the things that we do, we hurt people. We literally, symbolically eat them up. And the psalmist says that we're not supposed to do that. The psalmist gives an invitation for us to sing to the Lord. And there are good times when music is all you need. Right? I'm not kidding. I can tell you numerous Sundays when after the music was over, I said, that's it. I don't need to say a word. Because the music has said it all. You know, everybody can't carry a tune. Okay, let's be honest. Everybody can't carry a tune. But I believe that everybody's got a song in their heart. Amen? I mean, singing has always been an important part of worship. Songs tell the story of the church. It tells the story of changed lives. It talks about deep dedication and salvation, right? It talks about relationships with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Methodists have always been known as a singing church, right? We've always been known as a singing church. And because, you see, joyful singing honors the Lord. John and Charles Wesley wrote thousands of hymns. We sing a whole lot of them Sunday after Sunday. We sing to the rock of our salvation, right? Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Those are songs that I grew up with. I talk about when I was a kid, I went, you know, you've heard some, oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wild wood, right? You've heard that, right? I grew up going to the little white church in the woods. I grew up in a church where the amen corner was six little ladies who sat right here. And I don't care what the preacher said. If the preacher said the sun's not coming up tomorrow, they said amen. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. Okay? And that's okay. It's fine. We had worship. I was like, I got a friend, and he's long passed away. And he always used to talk about, we had church today. You know? That has always been my prayer, is that when we leave, when we go from this place and go home, people say, we had church today. That the Spirit of God moved, and we were moved by what was going on in the church today. But things like the old rugged cross, we just sang about the old rugged cross, didn't we? We talked about Jesus being crucified. Those kind of hymns, right? Jesus was crucified. You can't, I mean, even the people, the Romans who crucified him, acknowledged it. It's written down that he was crucified. But the good news is that the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty. Amen? The tomb is empty today. Only 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. Have we already forgotten the joy and the celebration only 2 weeks later? We don't. Sandy and I, Sandy's sitting right back there. Usually she sits up in the front. Yeah, Sam, she does. Well, it's because she sits in the front pew and prays for our humility, that we will be humble every Sunday. I only had to look at the front pew, and I knew I was being critiqued. right then and there, I said, "It's pretty hard to be a retired pastor, because every church you go to, you want to critique whoever's speaking." Now, Howard didn't Howard teach preaching with the yeah? So Howard's sitting there critiquing what I'm doing right now. Okay? That's the way retired pastors do. Okay? So just don't worry about it. I'll get a report later. But worshiping the Lord in song, you know, songs like it tells us in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, verse 10. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll shout and sing the victory. Right? When we all get to heaven. Isn't that what we want, church? Don't we all desire that when we reach that time where our journey here on earth is over, that we then move to a new place? Leah was telling us about when they bought their place, right? And we think about when we all get to heaven, that's moving from this place to that place. Isn't that what we all want to do? Is there anybody here that does not want to do that? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. Right? but it tells us that we'll sing those songs. They're songs about the redemption by the blood of Christ. You know, I was thinking about that this morning even. When we get ready to come here, you know, we talk about blood being redeeming, but it tells us in the scripture that our clothes will be made white as snow through the blood of Jesus Christ. He had to give his life so that we could have life and have it abundantly forever and ever. So why don't we worship God for the great things that he has done in our life? But in our world today, so many people don't worship him, don't thank God, right? But the second dimension of worship is thanksgiving, isn't it? Right? That's what we heard in the psalm today, because thanksgiving worships the Lord. When we remember the provisions of God, it causes us to be thankful in our lives. And I think about it. Sandy and I live in the woods, kind of, okay? We live on Lake Egypt, but it's in the woods because we say we're hiding out. All the things that are going on in the world around us today, we hide out. We don't want to get involved in the stuff that we see out there. And it's pretty peaceful. It's pretty quiet. And we talk about the blessings of the things that we have received. We ain't got much. As you can tell, I grew up, I'm a Kentucky boy originally. Okay? I mean, I was born in Florida. But all my family is from Kentucky. I even had a aunt that lived in Hazard, Kentucky. Duke's a Hazard. Yeah. She lives in Georgetown, Kentucky now. So you have to be careful, because every once in a while I revert to my drawl a little bit. So if you don't understand me, that's all right. I'll make sure it gets clear. But, you know, when we remember God's provision, it provides a thankfulness within us. We're to be constantly aware of the things that God has done for us. And that's what Sandy and I talk about. Like I said, we don't have a whole lot, but it's always, gosh, look at the things that God has done for us. I mean, We're alive. We all got up this morning and we're here. Huh? Right? I volunteer, like I said, I'm a Vietnam vet. I volunteer with the VFW Honor Guard, and we did a funeral yesterday. And it was so funny because three of the members of the Honor Guard team, two of them are 86 and the other one's just turning 88. And we buried a veteran yesterday who was 97. I've got Agent Orange exposure. Sandy and I both have more medical issues than we like to talk about. And I just keep saying, I want to make it to 80 even, okay? 90 would be unbelievable. 97? Huh? Yeah. 90's great. You know, I remember a study that said that the fastest growing age group in America were those over 100. I'll tell you the truth. I don't think I've ever told this to maybe three or four people. When I was a kid, God and I used to have conversations. And all my life, I have believed that God told me I was going to live to be 100. As a pastor, I have been in ministry with people in their 90s. And I cannot remember. Howard, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I have never heard one person in their 90s tell me as a pastor they wanted to live to be 100. Think about it. Usually, a lot of family members are gone. Friends are gone. It becomes lonely. Sandy's mom is in a facility, and she just turned 93. Longevity, it would be great. But being thankful for these things, right? Being thankful for, I've had triple bypass surgery. I've got a stent, I've got cancer, you name it. I am thankful. After my first heart attack, I said, I will be thankful every day that I get to get up and see the sun. Or even if it's cloudy, or snowing, or rain, or hail. Like I said, we live on Lake of Egypt, right? We got a little place there, right on the shoreline. And it's so funny, a couple years ago, Sandy said, you know, I'd love to be able to sit right here at the dinner table and look out and see the lake. Don't ever do anything like that. Because my brother-in-law and I took a chainsaw and we cut a 3x10 window in the wall. And we sit at the table and we look right out at the lake. We get to see a beautiful sunset every day. And they're different every day. We get to get up and see the sunrise through the trees every morning. Sandy talks about in the summertime about there being diamonds on the lake. You know, it's just the sun shining on the ripples. But being thankful and worshiping God for the great things that He has done in each and every one. You know, I've had to tell people that say, you know, well, what should I be thankful for? God allowed you to take another breath. Think about that. I mean, sometimes you got to get kind of hard with people. I don't like to. But, you know, I see Christians coming in two kinds, okay? Worldly Christians and spiritual Christians. John Wesley, in 1758, wrote a great sermon. It's called Almost a Christian. If you can ever get a hold of the John Wesley sermons, look up the one, Almost a Christian. Whew. John Wesley didn't have any trouble with telling people how it is. And didn't care. Of course, they threw rocks at him and sticks and everything else. Run cattle through his meetings, all kinds of stuff. But John Wesley told it like it is. So in our communion liturgy, it says it is right to give our thanks. Right? It is right to give our thanks and praise. Thank God in all things for what God has done in our lives. We can't worship and worry at the same time, can we? It's just like we say, love and hate can't live in the same heart, right? You can't have God in your heart and have the devil in there too, right? Evil cannot exist where the love of God is present. So we need to, as the scripture tells us, keep God in our heart, right? A.W. Tozer said, thanksgiving has great curative power, right? John, you're a healer. It has great curative power. And as a healer, those are some of the things that we like to do. Is we strive to help people, to heal people. And then the third dimension of worship is reverence. Reverence. Huh. Like I said, Sandy sits in the front pew every Sunday. I didn't know if she was going to do it today or not, Sam. She decided, no, she's going to sit back there. When she talks about praying that we will remain humble. Worship might just include bowing down, if you think about it, right? Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. That's honoring God in all things that we do. So the three dimensions of worship that we need to remember, right, is music, right? Important part of our worship, thanksgiving, and reverence to God. But I'm going to tell you something that's also important part of our worship: listening. We have to listen to the still, small, quiet voice of God. If you remember the story, when he stood in the middle and listened to the still, small, quiet. There's so much in our world today that competes for our attention. There's so much noise in our world that wants to detract us from worshiping God, to take away our focus. And most of the time, God speaks in a still, small, quiet voice. It's up to us to be listening. And when we worship God, when we praise Him, praise Him, all ye children, God is love, God is love. Right? See, Daniel, I think that everything has a song. All the churches I've served will tell you that in almost every sermon, I got to sing something because I think everything is a song. Worshiping God, listening to God in our hearts, giving Him thanks that I'm able to take a breath right now, able to stand here this morning, able to praise and worship Him, able to be with you this morning. But to remember, it's God who is in control. God is in. Now that's, I know that's not church, right? God is in control, right? Hey, I think God wants us all to smile and to be happy, not to be sad and down. That's my perspective on the life that God has given us. So let's listen. Let's worship. Let's praise Him. But you know, it's like every gift that God gives us, they're not gifts for us to keep to ourselves. They're gifts for us to share with those around us. So take our joy, our praise, our hope, our love, and spread it throughout the world to those we meet when we visit in the nursing home, when we go to a grocery store, or to Walmart, or we go to work. Or we just go visit our family and friends. Share that with each other. Because people in this world want the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. Huh? Everything's got a song. Don't forget that. If I leave nothing with you this morning other than that, remember that everything's got a song. And it's the joy of loving God and His Son Jesus Christ that keeps that song in our hearts. Amen? Will you pray with me? Eternal God, You gave Your Son, who gave us an opportunity to receive salvation, life everlasting that goes beyond the here and now. Eternal God, we experienced the, as Paul says, not yet, because Your glory is not yet fully revealed. Lord, we pray that the world will be blocked out, that the joy and the love of You and Your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will remain in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, help us to remember to share that wherever we go, with whomever we meet, no matter where we are, every moment of every day of the rest of our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Closing hymn for this morning is number 472, Near to the Heart of God. Remember, the psalmist invites us to come, let us worship. Take that worship and praise with us as we go. And as we go, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious upon you. And as you go, go in Jesus' name. Amen.